This is Ozarks at Large. Last year's outbreak of mumps in northwest Arkansas recently caught the attention of researchers in Boston. Their findings regarding vaccine compliance are published in the April issue of The Lancet. Researcher Maya Majumder recently spoke with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. Majumder works for HealthMap, a computational epidemiology group. They use things like Twitter, Google search, and local news media to gather data. She says she and her colleagues were notified about the outbreak in Arkansas by their surveillance system, which picked up on local news reports.
That's the part that I found really interesting was your use of the local news outlets. So how does that work exactly? And can you tell me a little bit more about that process?
The HealthMap surveillance system essentially picks up on local news as it's hitting the internet. So essentially, when you have places that have really good internet coverage, which is basically most of the United States, we get notifications as new news stories come out. And as those notifications hit our system essentially automatically curates the information that's available in that news story. So say, for instance, a news story talks about, you know, this is the number of cases that happened, and this is the day that the news story was published. Our system would be able to automatically curate from that text, you know, the number of cases that have happened and when the news story was published. So basically what that means is we can track the number of cases that various news media are reporting over time. And this is really useful in situations where data like that aren't readily available from an official source. So something that, you know, we ran into when we were trying to look at this outbreak was that the Arkansas Department of Health was doing a terrific job of publishing weekly reports, but there was no archive of previous reports. So we would know that, you know, if we actually went to their website, that week there had been this many cases that had been reported so far. But if we tried to figure out how many cases had been reported last week or a month ago, we couldn't find the documents to be able to recreate that, which is why we turned to our system to look at what news media were saying a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago and so on and so forth. And so that kind of let us look at the history of the outbreak, because we started getting interested in it after it had already, you know, infected a couple thousand people. So we were kind of curious, you know, how did this outbreak start out? Where did it start? You know, how many people did it infect the first week, the second week, the third week? And that's kind of why we relied on our surveillance system.
Can you just explain to me what you found in your research of this data?
Yes, absolutely. So basically what we found is when we started looking at the data, it was in mid-December. So this was right before the outbreak peaked. And that's kind of when epidemiologists really like to do their research, because it gives us a good sense of kind of what has happened so far and what we expect to come in the future. And so what we found at that time is that 70 to 89% of the folks that were in the communities that were directly affected by this mumps outbreak were likely vaccinated. And 70 to 89% for a disease that is as transmissible, as contagious as mumps, isn't really enough to make sure that people don't get sick. And that's kind of what we were interested in seeing, whether we could estimate what fraction of the people that were affected were actually vaccinated. And when I say the people that were affected, I don't just mean cases. I mean the folks that those cases interact with. So when we talk about communities in public health, we mean the people that you connect with every day. So for a child, for instance, you know, who is maybe in kindergarten and also goes to soccer some days after school, that child's community is not only his or her family, but also his or her classroom, his or her soccer team, so on and so forth, maybe his or her church.
Yeah.
All of these kind of points of contact with other people would comprise that child's community. So when we try to estimate vaccination, that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at, you know, the folks that come in contact with the people that get sick. And that gives us a sense of just how well protected the population is that is affected, and also, you know, what types of interventions we might need to pursue to prevent outbreaks like this happening in the future.
That threshold, 70 to 89%, from the proof, I gather that's pretty low for this type of disease.
Right.
And what's that indicate?
So what that indicates more than anything is that most likely parents are hesitating to vaccinate their children. And this is a trend that we have been seeing nationally in the United States for the last couple of years. So in many ways, it's not surprising based off of the current political climate surrounding vaccines. And this is, you know, several years old. This is not a new phenomenon, though we are definitely seeing kind of, you know, upticks in this sort of sentiment surrounding vaccines lately. So I think that in many ways, these outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases are almost expected given what current sentiment in general is around vaccines among parents. So when we think about this outbreak, about 60% of the cases were children, so children under the age of 18. So these kids, you know, it's a situation where all of these children fall under the age limit that we would expect for them to have received two doses of the mumps vaccine. You know, the mumps vaccine campaign first started in the 60s. So children under 18 are, you know, very much young enough to have kind of fallen under the era of vaccination for mumps. And the fact that, you know, they're getting sick, and our estimates right now suggest that it's because a lot of their communities aren't vaccinated, really means that folks are probably hesitating to vaccinate their children. And there are many reasons for that. So some folks have religious reasons, then there are medical reasons. Say, for instance, if your child has some sort of immunosuppressive condition. Mm-hmm. And then there's folks who have personal belief exemptions from vaccinations. And that's a pretty large chunk, actually, mm-hmm. of folks that hesitate against vaccines and go on the record saying that, you know, I don't want to vaccinate my kid and I have personal beliefs for that. And I think that, you know, that particular group is very much on the rise in the United States. There is a shift towards believing that kids get too many vaccines at once. And this is kind of consistent with recent changes in the ways that Americans view, you know, things like organic produce and non-GMO produce and so on and so forth. So these things are kind of very intimately connected. And that, I think, right now is, you know, what we as public health practitioners are really focusing on, trying to understand why parents don't want to vaccinate their kids so we can kind of do right by them and also make sure that we are communicating the reality of the science properly. Because ultimately, you know, the decision is the parent in many ways, but it's our responsibility as public health practitioners to make sure that all the information that's out there is readily accessible for these parents so they can make the decision that is not only best for their child, but also best for the communities that they live in.
Did you guys look at any cultural factors? Because Springdale, where the outbreak started, has a very large Marshallese community. And I, from my understanding, the outbreak started in the Marshallese community.
So I have chatted with a few contacts at the Arkansas Department of Health who have been very closely monitoring this outbreak in a way that, you know, we can't, all the way from Boston. Mm-hmm. So and they're doing incredible work in trying to kind of assess what role, say, for instance, culture and behavior might have played in this outbreak. From the folks that we've chatted with that are doing the, you know, really important boots on the ground work with the Marshallese community, what we are getting the sense of is that, you know, like any outbreak, and so in this sense, this particular outbreak is no different than any other one, behavior and culture are everything when it comes to disease transmission. And I mean, when we think about the way that diseases are transmitted. So, you know, different diseases are transmitted different ways, but culture and customs definitely affect the rate at which diseases are transmitted. So when you have cultures that are really into sharing food and really into sharing drinks and mm-hmm. really into kind of being in close proximity with each other, that, you know, hug and kiss a lot, you see increases in disease transmission compared to cultures that are not as into community and more into the individual self. So mm-hmm. this, without a question, has impacted the course of this outbreak, and it impacts the course of every outbreak. So I think that, you know, what I'm personally very interested in is I know that the Arkansas Department of Health and the CDC are working on some really cool studies right now that are looking at exactly these types of phenomena. And I think that, you know, when those studies come out, they're going to tell us a lot about the way that cultures and customs have affected this outbreak.
Your research, what should, you know, local school districts the county health departments, the state health departments, what can they take away from this study?
I think that the main takeaway is that current public health communication strategies about vaccination don't seem to be effective enough to make sure that enough parents are getting their children vaccinated against these childhood illnesses, including mumps. And I kind of wrap mumps up into, you know, a whole host of childhood infections, because the main way that people get vaccinated against mumps now is through the measles, mumps, rubella, or MMR vaccine. And all three of these diseases are extremely common in children and can be, you know, very, very transmissible in situations where there isn't high enough vaccination rates. So I think that the main takeaway, just to reiterate, is that we need to maybe change the way that we're communicating the risks and benefits associated with vaccines. And I think that, you know, part of the reason why is we need to be aware of the various sources of information that parents consume when they're making decisions about their children. Nowadays, with the advent of the internet and the advent of constant access to different types of news sources, some of which are very credible and some of which are not credible at all, we need to be prepared to battle fake news just like any other discipline. You know, there are plenty of fake news outlets out there about different types of medical devices, different types of pharmaceuticals, including vaccines. And I think that our approach right now in general in the public health community is still very much taking the traditional approach to public health communication, which I think needs to be modified given that the way that parents and children and everybody consumes news these days is changing. So we need to change the way that we're communicating as well. So I think that, you know, one of the things that we're doing right now at HealthMap is we're trying to figure out, you know, what is the best way to communicate facts and to communicate science to a larger number of people. And I think that that's something that all departments of health need to be thinking about, that all labs that are interested in childhood infections need to be thinking about. And I think that together, maybe we can come up with solutions that will be more impactful for parents and for their kids.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That was Maya Majumdar with HealthMap, a computational epidemiology group out of Boston, talking about recently published research into last year's mumps outbreak in the area.